This week's Parsha Mishpatim, also happens to be the first of the four special Parshios. It is also Shabbos Parshat Shkolim. And we know, and this is source number one, the month of Adar is inaugurated with the Shabbos known as Parshat Shkolim. Where does the name come from? And the Shabbos preceding Rosh Chodesh Adar, we read the section of the Torah that discusses the Machzid HaShekel, the half shekel that is collected from each individual on an annual basis, and whose proceeds are used to purchase communal offerings for the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah informs us that the nationwide collection of the half a shekel began Rosh Chodesh Adar, and hence we read this section on the Shabbos that precedes this day. What is behind choosing the beginning of Adar to collect the half a shekel? And that is, obviously, we know that that's the new count financially for the Korbanos started in Nisan, so this was a month of preparation to be able to have the funds necessary. I'd like to take a look at one Medrash, one Mamar Chazal, on this idea of Shkolim that will give us an insight into both the Parshat Shkolim as well as an insight into Purim and what Purim is about as well. It's a very famous Medrash, and there's a lot of Torah on it. We're just going to take a look at four ideas. At the same time, there is a lot more to be said. Source 2. As part of his plan to encourage Ahasuerus to consent to annihilate the Jewish people, Haman offers to pay out money in compensation for their loss. I will weigh out 10,000 talents of silver for deposit into the king's treasury. Regarding this statement, the Gemara states, said Reish Lakish, it was revealed and known before he who spoke and the world came into being, that Hashem would in the future weigh out shekelim for purposes of destroying the Jewish people. Therefore he preceded the shekelim of the Jews to those of Haman, and thus we learned in the Mishnah on the first of Adar, they proclaim regarding the collection of the shekelim. We take a look at this idea that Reish Lakish says, and we obviously have quite a number of questions. And that's source number 4. Ki mai sheichud yesh ben hakesef sheshaklu b'nei sobin b'ben hamikdash l'shkalav shel harasha harur hazeh. What's the connection between the two? Just because you have the idea of kesef, the word money, you have money in one place and money in another place, that's enough of a connection? And you're right, there is this whole idea that if you take the 600,000 people and the half a shekel, that was the 10,000 talents, so there is really a connection. We're not going to focus it on that. The bottom line is, what are Chazal getting at? What are we supposed to learn from this idea that the Jewish people, by the fact that they gave the shkolim in the Midbar, the Beit HaMikdash, that then offsetted the shkolim of Haman? Really? How? What's the connection? And the second is the language of Chazal. The fichach higdim shkaleim l'shkalav. Therefore, he preceded. He had the shkolim of Klai Yisrael before the shkolim of Haman. What's this idea of lahagdim? To usually lahagdim, as notes Mishchat Shem and Rav Kofman Zatzal, is something that's connected with one another. One person's going in front of another person, they're both walking into the same place. Lagdim means there's some inner connection that one is connected, one is before the other. If there's no connection between them, then how is one before the other? And another question which we'll touch on is the Jewish people don't have a Beis HaMikdash right now. So, like, which shkolim exactly are we talking about? We're talking about the shkolim they gave in the Midbar? That's even further begs the question. You mean hundreds of years before they gave shkolim, and those shkolim are going to offset? I get it if they just gave shkolim. So the shkolim, the half a shekel that they gave, that would offset with Haman. But there's no Beis HaMikdash now. There's no shkolim they're giving. Like, what is going on here? So I'd like to take a look at the Semir Tzashem on four levels. The first two levels will be focusing in on the giver in terms of the intellectual mindset of what this giving is about. The second two levels will be again the giver, but the emotional mindset behind the giving. Four, first to the intellectual mindset, second to the emotional mindset, four ideas in total. The most classic idea is the idea of achdus, of unity. And let's develop this at length, because this is really crucial both for Purim, for the Machzid HaShekel, and for our lives as well, my friends. All Moshe brings down. When the portion that we read from the beginning of Parsha Kitisa for the Shabbos Shkolim, it tells us that the Machzid HaShekel, everyone gave a half a shekel, Ha'ashir lo yerbe v'adal lo yamit. The rich person will not add, and the poor person will not diminish. Shemitzvah zot he's the karon Yisrael l'takeina v'onza garim tzilich shchina b'Yisrael. What is the mindset, kivyochol, behind this mitzvah? It is to be able to repair that which brings tzilich ha'shchina, kivyochol the shchina from leaving us. V'hu shekol machloket apirud levavot b'Yisrael. All this disunity, this discord among Klal Yisrael, who ba mitzad shecha mit romein mit gadel l'chaveiro, where one person thinks they're greater than another, that's what drives the Shechina away. The Machzid HaShekel is everyone across the board. I don't care if you're rich or I don't care if you're poor. I don't care if you're a Talmid Chacham, I don't care if you're an Amharic, I don't care who you and what you are. Everyone was equal. Everyone gave a half a shekel to be counted. And this idea, ki idea achdos on the dot in five, shi'eh bahem tiyah shratz ha'shchina bahem, that is the conduit to bring Hashem's Shechina down. And therefore we understand, at the end of five, v'lachein nasu min ha'shkolim. What did they do with the original shkolim? Right? We said later on they used it for the communal offerings. What did they do with the original set of shkolim? They made them the adonim, the sockets of the Mishkan. That the Mishkan is able to stand on this, and that obviously is very symbolic. When there is achdus, unity among the Jewish people, the Shechina, the Divine Presence, can reside. The Mishkan has what to stand on. And the idea of the Machzid HaShekel, and the idea of the Ashros HaShechina, the Divine Providence in this place, in Source 6, it's when people don't have their personal agendas. When everyone is focused on the same goal, how can we bring more Kvod Shemayim into this world? Then everyone is part of one larger whole. Everyone understands that they have a job to do, and that creates the idea of unity. The Chazon LaMoed, Rav Shapiro, develops this idea, quoting Rav Yitzchak Isaac Chaver in source number 7a and 7b, where he likens it to the human body, where the human body, every part of the body, has to function in its own right, and when it functions in its own right, doing what it needs to do, so then the body is able to function. And the example that he gives, hands need to be able to bring the food into one's mouth. The mouth needs to be able to digest, right, to take the food in, stomach to digest it. Every part of the body is there to do what it needs to do. It is the totality of all parts of the body functioning together that you have a healthy body. Likewise with Klal Yisrael. Every part of Klal Yisrael needs to function in and of its own right. And when all of Klal Yisrael function in and of its own right, and everyone's doing what it needs to do, so then the body, Klal Yisrael, is able to function. You have the Ashras HaShechina and the Divine Presence. And that's the idea in Source 8, where Kmo Ken Kol Ish Mishrael Nivra L'Davar Miyuchad. Just like the hands, the stomach, the kidneys, everything have a job. Every person has a job as well. And when Klal Yisrael are in a place of Ava V'Achta, when we're all united together, then we have a healthy body, a healthy nation. This idea that the Machzid HaShekel, the half a shekel, was to create this feeling of unity in Klal Yisrael, that we all are working here together and no one is one-upping anyone else, but we realize that every person's job is crucial for the entirety of the people. With this, we can appreciate another idea Reish Lakish brings in source number 9 in Medrash Tanchuma. In fact, there are four basic reasons why we bring the mitzvah of Machzir Tzasheket. We just saw one, to offset the shkalim of the of Haman. So another one, the Medrash one, is about Cheda Egel. But here's one that's less well known. The Medrash Tanchuma Parsha Kitisa Ita Machzir Tzasheket Rish Lakish Omer Lufi Shemachru Bechora Shal Rachel Besrim Kasev V'Nata Kol Echad V'Echad Matbea. So we see here that the Machzis HaShekel is here, the half a shekel is here to atone for the sin of the sale of Yosef. When they sold Yosef at Tzadik, the brothers, they sold him for 20 shekel kesef. Everyone took a coin, some money, right? Each one profited. And therefore, as an atonement, we have to give a Machzis HaShekel. The Machzis HaShekel comes to atone for the sin Mechiras Yosef. Parenthetically, we know that these two sins, the Cheda Egel and the sin of Mechiras Yosef is the paradigm of the sin between man and man. Cheda Egel is between man and God. Those sins will continuously rear its head throughout history until we're able to really rectify this and work on this. So let's understand this a little bit deeper. If I understand that the whole problem, if the whole tikkun of the Machzir HaShekel is to create unity, so now I can clearly understand why this is an atonement for the sale of Yosef. What do we know about the sale of Yosef? Source number 10 is that they really believed that they were right in selling Yosef. They had a base in, they really felt they were right. In what way did they feel any sense of guilt? So the Chumash itself tells us in the Dan in 10, Aval Hashemim Anachnu, Asher Ra'inu Tzarat Nafsho, Bichanano Elenu Velo Shamanu. They acted toward him with achzarios, with some type of cruelty. He's screaming, respond to them. And they didn't have this aspect of emulating the Ribbono Shel Olam's mercy, being able to go above and beyond and to treat him properly. And because of this disunity, Yisod Chatam Shel Shvatim, the end of 10 in the arrow, the root of the sin of the Shvatim, B'mechirahi Peirut, is disunity. And therefore comes the Machzir HaShekel, which is creating in the community, the Koach HaTzibur. It's working on uniting the people. Not only was the half a shekel itself that everyone was equal, but the fact that the half a shekel was given for the Korban HaTzibur, for the communal offerings, that in itself creates the idea of community, and that creates the idea of atonement. Now, with this in mind, we can take this one step further. When we understand that the Machzir HaShekel is about creating unity, that everyone's equal, we're using it for communal sacrifices, it's a kapara for the chait of Yosef, Mechiras Yosef, where they didn't have this feeling of brotherhood. We can now appreciate a medrash which is also not well known, but very fascinating. And that is in source number 11. And the pasuk v'hamelech v'haman yashvu lishtot, right? Vayir shushan navocha. The king and Achashverosh are sitting down to l'chaim. This is a great plan. Let's get rid of the Jews, right? So the medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Amar lahem l'shvatim atem achartem et achichem mitoch ma'achal mishte, kach ani aser lachem, hau dechtiv, amelech v'aman yashvu lishtot. Kivyachol, as if Hashem said to Klal Yisrael, ah, you sold your brothers through a suda. After they sold them, they sat down and had a meal. So I'm going to sell you now as well through a suda, through Haman and Achashverosh having a party. So here you see that there's that echo again of the Cheda Mechiras Yosef. It's rearing its head, where the Medrash is saying, Kivyachol, Hashem is reminding them, you want to know, how callous can you be to, decide that a nation should be eradicated and then sit down and have a meal? This is a throwback to another time where people acted, again, on their level in a callous way after selling a brother. And that's the idea that the Manos Halevi points out. that the whole idea of what Ahasuerus was doing, what Haman was doing, talking to Ahasuerus, is really trying to bring up the sale of Yosef once again, to say they're not really worthy of being redeemed. Because look at this nation, and that's what he says in 12. When Haman came back to Rabbi Bernstein Sefer to Ahasuerus to propose his plan to annihilate the Jews, he starts by describing them in the following way. There's one nation scattered and separate among all the nations. The Rav Shlomo Alkovitz in his Sefer, Manos Halevi, which is classic commentary to Megillat Esther. Scattered is a geographical term, which refers to the fact that Jewish people were indeed scattered throughout the kingdom. But not only are they mefuzar, they're also mefarad. What does mefarad, separate, mean, he says? Refers to an emotional separateness. The Jews in that times were beset by strife, discord, and indifference to his other. Rav Alkovitz explains in 13, that Haman knows that in order for Ahasuerus to agree to his plan to exterminate the Jews, he will need to feel that it's assured success. And he says it is, because they're currently in a state of disunity. When there's a lack of unity, they forfeit the divine protection, and therefore they become vulnerable to their enemies. And this is why it's not by accident that what was the first thing that Esther says to Ahasuerus, Mordechai, Lech Knos et Kol HaYehudim. Go and gather the Jews together. Esther is saying that no initiative of hers will succeed without first addressing the core issue that allowed Haman to hatch his plan in the first place. If the Jewish people are vulnerable when divided, the number one priority is for them to gather together, which is indeed what happened. And that is part of, he says in 14 and 15, the Vanafochu, though everything just turns around. That Haman, who's saying that the Jews are disunified, and therefore we can destroy them, that very threat is what brought them back together again. And that's the idea that Haman is so rare, HaYehudi. He's referred to as the oppressor of the Jews. So rare comes from the word sror, which is a bundle. The very act of trying to oppress the Jews is what bundled them together and became a unified people. So now we can appreciate the koach of the Machzid HaShekel in the past when they gave it, which was supposed to be an atonement for the sale of Yosef. When the people are going to act appropriately and work on that original sin, so then the Shkolim are able to be a protection for Klal Yisrael and be able to save them. And he says that's why. Again, the question we raised to B'nai Yisoschar in 16, Yesh Shalim Halo B'Zman G'zeres Haman Lo Yunav Nimach Zid HaShekel. They didn't give it at that time. You're right, Yechinami. There was no Beit HaMikdash. But it's about the schus of the mitzvot of Shkolim that they gave when the Beit HaMikdash was around. That stood up for them. Why dafka that and not the Ketorah and not all the other things? Because it's dafka, the Machzid HaShekel, which is about unity. And when we are disunified, the sale of Yosef is rearing its head. When we learn the lesson of unity, so then retroactively, that Shmira, that protection of the Shkolim, will now, that force field of protection will now come into the fore, and that will protect Klal Yisrael. So that's Pshat in the Medrash. Where, what does it mean, the Shkolim of Haman have already been undone? They were Lahakdim. Hashem was Makdim before Lamaka. He says, I'm going to have in place a mitzvah that's going to be a unifying mitzvah to be mechaper for the chayt mechirus Yosef, and when needed, that's going to come as a protection for the Jewish people. Now, obviously, when he says the Chazon LeMoed continues, when she says lech knos kol Yehudim, it doesn't mean to just physically gather all the Jews together, but rather in the bracket. V'im yesh b'neihem kina v'sina v'tachrod she'ashlim b'neihem. If there's animosity among them, if there's arguments among them, they have to be brought together. And this is the whole idea, as the Gra points out, the Pasuk says, Nikalu va'amod al nafsham, the singular, they stood for their lives, like Mamad Har Sinai, ki ish echad b'lev echad v'yichan sham Yisrael. Hence we say in Shoshanas Yaakov, the end of 17, Salav Asemecha Birosam Yachad, Tchela Mordechai. The Yachad, the unity, is what was the protection for Klal Yisrael. Just to take this idea, drop deeper. He says, Rabbi Bernstein, again in 18, what does being part of a community involve? So he brings a gewaldic idea from Rav Azariah Figo, who says the following. When Esther says, Lech knos kol Yehudim nisim b'shushan v'tzumo alai, and let them fast for me. What's the meaning here? Since the Jewish people at that time suffer from divisiveness and contention, Esther is saying that if they are to emerge from this impending calamity, they will need to address this issue. Thus she says, you're all in danger of being wiped out on the 13th of Adar. I'm in danger of being killed in 3 days' time when I appear unlawfully before the king. I'm asking you to set aside your own troubles and fast for me, Tzumu Alai, to put my concerns before your own, for that is what will allow us to succeed. Moreover, she adds, Gam ani v'narosai atzum kein. Also, I and my maids will fast similarly, meaning we will also set our own immediate danger aside and instead fast for your well-being. And then Esther concludes, U'bechein, and thus, with this sense of solidarity and togetherness, of Olam Melech, Asher Lo Chatat, approach the king, though it's unlawful. Really, the real aspect of unity is I'm thinking about the other person. I'm concerned about the other person. You daven for me, and I'll daven for you. With a real heartfelt that I'm concerned about your issue, and the other is concerned about my issue. That is what brings the unity of Klal Yisrael. He brings a gewaltic word here, and I just wanted to share this. It's a little bit off track, but so fundamental. He says, the idea of defining community by having well-being of others at heart is expressed by the sages themselves in a most interesting discussion. The discussion is about the effectiveness of tefillah. And the Gemara states that the power of communal prayer is stronger than that of individual. So then the Gemara asks, well, hold on a second. If you have sailors on a boat and a storm threatens to overturn it, their prayers can only avert a decree before it has been sealed. Well, hold on a second. Sailors are many sailors. So you would think that it can avert a decree of the storm even after it has been sealed. So the Gemara answers two words. Ki yichidim damu. They have the status of individuals, and therefore it doesn't have the status of communal prayers. So what is this about? So the Shem Yishmol explains in 20 that when a boat is threatened by a storm, it's only natural for every single person on the boat to be thinking of its own welfare. That being the case, although the boat itself may contain many people, and although they're quite literally all in the same boat, nevertheless, they're not a community, but rather a collection of individuals. In other words, listen closely, community is defined not by the room that holds us together with others, but by the room we make for them in our heart. That's the bottom line. And hence we understand why one of the major mitzvahs of the day, or most of the mitzvahs of the day, are about creating this achdus. We have Matanos Lev Yonim, Koloposhe Yad Notim Lo. Anyone who extends a hand, we give them. That's unity. I don't question, I don't ask. We're all brothers. I give to everyone who asks. You have the idea of Mishloch Manos, of being able to give to other people, and again, that creates a feeling of unity. And we know the idea of Mishloch Manos in 22, back to Chazon L'Moed, is Larbona Shalom Vareyos, to create feelings of love, feelings of brotherhood, which is the counter of Mefozo Mefora Ben Amim. And we also know that you normally think that in the bracket of 22 that you only give to those who you love. Well, if you would give, then you'd come to love. And that's why it's just giving. Just give. And as the old mother said, and we've spoken about this before, if it's about Lahar Bos Reyos, so then if you have a kibbeh on somebody. If you're angry at somebody, they didn't invite you to their simcha, or they did something to you. So this is an appropriate time to give them mishloach manos, to create this feeling of unity. So this feeling of unity, right, to work on the original sin of Mechiras Yosef, which is the paradigm of not getting along, we have to, in our own generation, be able to work on this, to strengthen this area. And again, he says, the idea of, going to people's houses, making l'chaim, having families come together to have a suda, it creates this feeling of reus, where he ends in 23, the Olam Moshe, ube'emes nuchal argizo b'chush, shepur mashpia shefa shal bracha l'kla Yisrael. Purim is this ability, you feel like this overwhelming love, where you have the lack of kina ishmerehu, and argumentation, and just love. Just to take this idea one step further, and then we'll look at the other three. We'll do those obviously much quicker. The Rabbi Avi Feiner, Sefer Purim Eternal, brings a very beautiful idea from Rav Shor, who quotes the Ginas Egos, that the word manos has the same numerical value as malchut, meaning kingship. And we know the Reishi Chochma says that after 120 years, one of the questions that is on the final exam is, Himlachta chavercha benachat ruach. Did you make your friend king over you? Did you treat people with the honor that they deserve? We therefore say Mishloach manos amperim, which is also a form of Mishloach malchus, and thereby expresses to our friend how much we respect them, how deserving they are of a tremendous kavod just by virtue of being part of this honorable nation. So you don't have to have a reason to send. Just send to another yid. We're all Jews together. We see the malchus, the royalty in everyone, and our mishloach mano reflects this aspect of royalty. Okay, my friends, so that was idea number one. What's the machzitz ha-shekel about? It's about unity. It's about using them for the korbanot tzibur. It's about everyone is equal. It's the big equalizer. The adonim, the sakets, the shechina is able to come down. At the time of Haman, the people were not unified. That sin of Mechiras Yosef is able to rear its head. But because we have in place that half a shekel, we have in place the ability of knowing what it means to unify together, that becomes, therefore, the antidote. That's what saves us, and that is only when we are able actually to access the meaning of the half a shekel. Just to say the half a shekel is there, that's enough. It's not enough. Let Knosset Kol Yehudim daven for each other. Allow Purim to be a time of brotherhood. Allow Purim to be a time to make up with people. Allow the time to really feel that I treat every person like a melech, like a malka, like royalty. That's idea one. A second aspect of the mindset of the giver intellectually. Again, the first idea is unity. I'm not better than you. You're not better than me. We're working together to serve God. That's mindset one. Mindset two, we'll do a little bit less inside to be able to get through everything, is the Mishchat Shemen. We'll start. Rav Kofman Zatzal says, Al pi derech ha-musar, Machzid ha-shekel, source 26a, Tamun musar eskel nifla, Veish ba-derech chayim v'advrecha l'chol l'cham Yisrael. This is a mindset for all of Klal Yisrael. Shecharno ha-bor yisbarach ba-osherav, ha-oshpol skedolo shoshar tovos olam hazeh. Anyone who's been benched with either material wealth or within talents, those type of wealth, this is the lesson for us. Sheyeda zehadam heachli nahegim kaspo veechli shtamesh beribui atov sheyeshlo baofen shechassel shomol chitapechlo atovalo ra'a. How to use it well that it doesn't cause you to lose everything. And we know that having gifts, whether it's intellectual gifts, artistic gifts, financial gifts, it's a nisayon. It's definitely a test. The etzem hakoshi b'nisayon hi in 26b, b'psei shashem itbarach hitbiya b'teva sheish l'mamon koch b'shicha, ha-mesaver et enei abriyot melarot nechocha. When a person has money or any other talents, there's some type of intoxication that happens in a person's mind where they believe it's all about them. Hey, I achieved everything. It was my brilliance that got me where I am today. You know, it's, and you attribute everything to yourself. And that's leading a person in a very dangerous way. He continues in 28 on the next page, where we know, this pasuk in Yirmiyah and the squiggly in 8, that there are three great gifts that Hashem gives a person. And Yirmiyah Navi tells us, Al yitalel chacham b'chachmato, a person shouldn't lord over the fact that he's smart. Val yitalel hagibor b'gvurato, a strong person should go around talking about his strength, priding himself on this. And the third, Al yitalel ashir ba'ashro, and a wealthy person shouldn't lord this over as well. The only thing that you should speak, you know, in great mighty terms is the praise of Hashem. And the Medrash goes on to describe how different people through in Tanakh had wisdom and used it in a gaivetic way, in a very arrogant way, and lost it. And the Medrash continues, there were two people who had wealth that was given to them, and they also used it in an inappropriate way, one from the Jews and one from the Goyim, and two was taken away from them. The two individuals were Korach and Haman. They were the richest people ever around. And the Medrash, the language of the Medrash is that those who use it in the wrong way, that they are shechatvo, that they, like, they grab this money, they're going to lose it. What do you mean they grab this money? Either God gives you two or it doesn't. So Semes explains, grabbing it means a mindset of, do you think that this money is yours because you've acquired it? Or do you recognize it's totally a gift from Shemayim? Source 30, Shekoma Sheyeshlo, whatever we have, Lo Nitan Lo Ela B'Matnat Shemayim B'Koach HaTara, it's given to us from Hashem as a gift. It's the Koach HaTorah, Klomar, Shelo Yachshov Al Atzmo Shisik Et Oshro B'Kocho B'Kochmato. Person shouldn't think that they acquired this with their own wisdom and their own strength, because we know everything's given from heaven. Hashem gives each of this from beginning to end, particularly talents. I mean, you can't say, I mean, you can develop the talent and you can enhance it, but you can't say this talent is yours. This is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He has given us, and we have to shitragel lichyopa malach ha-machshava nechona in the hour of 30. We have to be able to work on this mindset all the time. It's not about me. It's all a gift from the Ribono Shel Olam. So now, my friends, when a person has this mindset, so then they're going to be able to use what they have in the right way, and not in the wrong way. Valderech Zehazeh, Ita, 33, B'sifrei Kodesh, Lomar, Hasber, Upshap, Divrei Gemara. Now we can appreciate the Gemara that says that the Shkolim of Bnei Israel were able to offset the Shkolim of Haman. V'hainu, ki b'nekudas machshavazu, the mindset. Bnei Israel im am Kodesh, ma'aman ha'rasha lavdil elef alfei avdalos. The distinction in the mindset between Klal Yisrael, when they have their money that they're donating to the Mishkan, to Lahavdil, Elof Alfei Avdolos, to Hama with his money, Shatzorer Halosech Yishevet Rovo Shrovet Dulato Latzmo. He looked at it all about himself, right? The Megillah tells us, Shishtabeach Lifnei Yishto Vavav. He's bragging to his wife and to his henchmen, al kvodo shrov v'rov banav et kol asher gidlo amelech v'et asher nusoo sarim v'avdei amelech, how great he is, how wealthy he is, how wonderful he is. B'gaiva me'usa shebekocho agado v'atzum higia la'an shekia. It was bragging that he was the one who accomplished all that he accomplished. When someone has this mindset, they're doomed for failure. V'lumadza harashan 34, Amdu Yisrael v'natnu machzir ha-shekel mikatzpam. You look at the counter and you see Klal Yisrael taking a half a shekel. U'bepulav zu gilu da'atam v'ratzon libam shekol ha-osher v'mamon sheyesh b'yadam eno miyuchatz latzmam. By giving the half a shekel, they're making a statement. This money isn't ours. It comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why you see this, that as soon as they were asked to give a truma, they ran and gave it. people who think that it belongs to them are like, I'm not sure I can give away my money. How much do you really need? How much do you want? But when you realize it's not your money, you realize it's Rosh Hashanah's money, you want to build the Beit HaMikdash? Great. You want to need money for a shul or for Tamchei Shabbos? Amazing. Because it's not mine. It's all I get from the Rebbeinu Shalom. Our whole view, the mindset of money. What was the Machzid HaShekel about? What did the Machzid HaShekel create for Klal Yisrael? It created for them that appropriate mindset that money doesn't belong to us, it belongs to the Rebbeinu Shalom. And he tells us how to use it. And we have to recognize, since it's given from him, we'll use it in the ways that are appropriate, that the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to use it. Volodia, mul olam umloo, the idea that our shkalim were able to offset Haman's shkalim was because when we gave this half a shekel, we made a public statement in the Dot in 34. We told the whole world it's given from a Kurdish Baruch Hu, and it's to bring Nachat Ruach to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that is what the purpose of all of our gifts in this world. And this, my friend, says the Beis Yisrael from Gur, the Rebbe of Gur in 34, this is the real fight between Amalek and Klal Yisrael. Amalek, whose Haman is from, is Likarer. He came to make us cold, to make us really create a division between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And hence it's not by accident that the story of Amalek is found at the end, repeated at the end of Parsha Ki Tetzeh, and the next Parsha, Parsha Ki Tavo, begins with Bikurim. Because that's Hainu Hach. The Bikurim are also the counter to Amalek. You have first fruits, what do you do with it? Well, those are mine, I'll give you another one. You know, the end of the season when the crops are a little, God, then I'll bring you. No! I bring the best, I bring the first, I bring what's most precious. Because that, my friends, is our understanding that all we have belongs to Ribbono Shel Olam. And everything, this is the function of our Muna. And this is not only true with our money, 39 in the asterisk, Kabedet Hashem Mahoncha, we honor Hashem with Mimashachoncha, with everything that Hashem has blessed us with, whatever our talents is, whatever is special about us, we're recognizing that this is a gift from Hashem. And as Ramosha says, you don't only give a maaser of your money, you give a maaser of your time. You have to give a maaser of who you are, because everything is a gift from Hashem. The Machzid HaShekel, giving that contribution to the Mishkan, becomes a paradigm of being able to give, to donate to the Mishkan, to spiritual, effort of whatever makes me special, whatever makes me unique, whether it's my financial support or any other support. That is the counter. When Klal Yisrael are able to understand that their money and their gifts are there to build the Mishkan, that counters, that offsets Haman, who thinks that money is all about himself. It's about how he's accomplished and he's acquired and how great he is. And that type of gaiva is going to be offset by the humility of the Machzid HaShekel of Klal Yisrael. I just want to add on this level a mamish maflutic idea of the Sfas Emes. How it manifests itself, I'll tell you what I think. I'm not sure what the Sfas Emes had in mind, so I'll tell you what Smiles has on mind of the Sfas Emes. So we know the Siftei Dad, quoting the Sfas Emes, says, Nikvu hayamim l'mishloch manot v'ish l'bereihu u'matanos l'avyonim, and this is to counter the lack of achdus. And then he says, Mosif al Sfas Emes u'mechadesh. Here's the big chiddush. Mishloach manot eino mubal u'manot ma'achal. So clearly, halachically, you have to give food. Okay, we got that down. Now let's talk about it symbolically. Let's talk about it philosophically. Kol echad tzarich latet v'lechlok emas sheyesh lo u'bemas shehu nachun. Every person should give as part of their mishloach manot what makes them special, what makes them unique. Kol echad v'cha mechuna minukuda miyuchadet she'ein ba'achirim. Something special that you have that no one else has. V'ota alav l'chlok v'lotei l'reyav. Give that to your friends. The chacham can be able to give his wisdom. The tamid chacham, his Torah. Gam matan zeh nechlab l'mishloch manos v'matanos. This is part of mishloch manos. Shegam hu yotzer ava v'achva memela et ha'tachlin v'vukashet. And that achieves the goal. So smiles on this, says, this is the idea of having creative mishloach manos. You're artistic, so use your artistic abilities to be able to either make things, like, you know, somebody would make dishes from pottery, paint them and give them to a few close friends, right? You take your artistic talents and you use that as part of mishloach manos. You're creative in writing poetry, so you use that. You have creative in a theme, you use that. You're a Talmid Chacham and you have Divrei Torah, so send a Divrei Torah with your mishloach manos. Whatever makes you unique and special, add that flavor to mishloach manos. So it's not just, you know, the ones you buy in the store, at least in Eretz Yisrael, all wrapped in cellophane and everything is, you know, in a nice little basket and everyone is happy. That standard. Make it personal. And make it personal with what makes you special, what makes you unique. And then when a person gets that mishloach manos, that's so great! And they appreciate it. And that creates the simcha of the day, that creates the achdus of the day. So the second idea of mindset, idea number one of mindset, create unity. Idea number two of mindset, when we gave the Machzir HaShekel, it was a deep understanding that whatever we have belongs to Ribbono Shel Olam, and we're ready to give the Zahav, the Tchelet, everything. Whatever is needed to build the Mishkan, and we have that mindset. It's not our money. It's given to us by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Let us use it in the appropriate way. And that's why I've seen in the Sfarim that really critiquing people who say, you know what, I'm leaving town for Purim because everyone's knocking on my door and I don't want to give out such handouts. So that's exactly the counter of what we're talking about, and that enters into the realm of Haman's mindset. Let's take a look at two ideas in terms of the emotional part. The first idea is Rabbi Gladstein Magid HaRakia, and he says, there's an idea of higdim. Right? We ask that question, what does higdim mean? You've already come before. What does come before mean? So he says this idea of one coming before the other is found by Bilam and Avraham Avinu. We have Shim Rasha Oseh Pula Laman Hasagat Matarto Hara'a. You have a Rasha who wants to do something, evil scheme. But Israel's kukim shiyabi adam schus. Israel have to be makdim. They have to have beforehand some type of merit to knock out what this Russia wants to do. G'day lechniel v'tel kochol shel Russia. Classic example. V'yakam Bilam b'boker. Bilam gets up in the morning. V'yachavosh el atano. He saddles his own donkey and v'yelech im sari moav and goes with sari moav. Rashi explains, Vayechavosh et Atano, he was so into cursing the Jews, he saddles it himself. Hashem says to him, Rasha, somebody beat you on this. Vayashkem Avram Baboker, Vayechavosh et Chamaro. What's going on here? So he says, you know, he's so excited to, he's going to lower his dignity, he's going to saddle his own donkey, Gevald. That's going to be such a schus to be able to curse Klal Yisrael, right? It doesn't work, because there's someone who also lowered his kavod with the same passion and enthusiasm to do Ritzon Hashem. And that saddling of Avraham Avinu's donkey, the same act, he was makdim. He had it before him. And that, having it in place, therefore offsetted the act of Haman. Let's take a look. Rav Moshe Feinstein Tzatzel in Darash Moshe Lotaru and Parshat Balak says something very, very profound, and it's almost a little bit scary. And he says, he brings us Rashi, Hashem demands of everyone to engage in Torah and mitzvos in the same manner that people engage in their own affairs. As we read, if you seek it like silver, therefore, if the contemporary world engaged its own affair more intensely than was customary, Evren is subject to criticism if he does not engage in Torah mitzvot with the same alacrity and eagerness with which he engages in his own mundane affairs. Since the level of commitment is in proportion to the pursuit of one's own living, the demand to engage in Torah pursuits can exceed any level of intensity previously required. This could bring, God forbid, a change against the Jewish charge against the Jewish people if they are not as devoted to Torah learning and keeping mitzvot as people are devoted to their own mundane affairs. And this is pshat. He says, when Yaakov Avinu says, I kept the Torah mitzvot, I didn't learn from the bad ways of Lavan. So we normally understand that, you didn't learn from the bad ways of Lavan. But it could be understood differently. It was critiquing himself. I should have learned from his ways. I should have learned what it means to have passion. Because if I would have learned what it means to have passion, I would have put that passion into my avodas Hashem. We see, though, that in essence, the only one agreed with Bilam's reasoning. The only thing that suppressed the accusation was the fact that Avraham had already been preparing to perform a mitzvah with the same enthusiasm as Bilam showed in preparation to commit an avera. The lesson for us here is that we see how people devote themselves to their own mundane affairs and to committing sins. We should be aware that Hashem will demand of us to devote ourselves to Torah mitzvahs in direct proportion. So, my friends, this is the idea of v'nireh shel derech ze gam nuchal uva'er le'inyan shel adamat shkaleinu l'shkalei Haman. Because you're right, Haman was prepared to give a lot of money to be able to destroy the Jews. And he did this with tremendous passion and enthusiasm. However, l'zor richem aleinu Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's why Hashem, knowing this, told us many years before, give shkalim, that we also have a cheshek v'ava. We also have a desire to use our money, but we're using our money for appropriate things. So Klal Yisrael's desire to use their money for appropriate things was like the Avraham Avinu saddling his donkey to counter Bilam saddling his donkey. Our passion and enthusiasm using our money for positive things then offsetted the enthusiasm that Haman had to use his money to destroy the Jews. That's the idea of hikdim, that they came before. I will add that the Sichos Bavirat Hashem brings down from the Yitav Lev and the Tiferet Shmuel a different pshat on the same idea. Those who have the Minhag Yisrael to say Yotzros on Musaf on Parshat, the part on some of the Arab Parshios, so they know the ones for Parshat Shkolim end with the same refrain. Or Panecha Aleinu Adon Nisa, the light of your countenance, Hashem, of your face, we should be able to carry, we should be able to see. And basically, Shkolim is about having this close relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. And this is a phrase, as the Sichos Bavirat Hashem points out, this is a phrase that should reverberate in our minds throughout the day. But he brings here, the Yitav Lev, our question. L'chorot Tzarev Bior, the end of 45. They didn't give Shkolim in that time. So what does it mean, Hikdimu Shkaleim L'shkalav, that our Shkolim offsetted his? So again, the simple interpretation is the shkolim that we gave in the Mikdash. But he says no. He says there's another way of understanding it. He says any time that there's a tzara, Kadosh Baruch Hu looks for Yeshua. What chus do we have? What do we have that we can be redeemed? Aval im ein la tzchud, ein la tshua, ma shein ken Yisrael kashitzuchim li Yeshua, filu kashiz matzav, shechas v'shol mein biyadam tzchud li vashaya. So they don't have a schud in the world, so you're stuck. But with Klal Yisrael, Hashem says you're never stuck. Even if you don't have a schud right now, asterisk 45, mikol makom im HaKadosh Baruch Hu ro'eh shiritzonam v'kavanantam leheitiv ma'aseihem. But if Hashem sees they want to improve their ways, ve'mekablim al atzman lavodoto avodot tama ba'atid, and they want in the future to bring the shkolim, b'schud zeh kvar magdim lahem haYeshua. For that desire in the future to bring the shkolim, that it will be enough for Hashem to counter Haman's desires right now. Afilu kodem shekimu ha-mitzvot v'po'el. Even before the second Beit HaMikdash was built, that we were able to give the shkolim. And that is in the times of Achashverosh, when Hashem saw our garguim, Shai Yisrael, how we want to do the mitzvah of shkolim, when the Beit HaMikdash will be built. In that schuz, kvar hitzilam l'mafreya. V'zeh higdim shkaleim l'shkalav, d'haynu shigdim tinatam, ki'ilu hayu notzrim achshav. That's the deeper pshat, that Hashem higdimu, brought earlier. What do you mean brought earlier? So brought earlier, we understand, he means in the Mishkan time. No! In the Beit HaMikdash time. No, brought earlier means Hashem is counting what we haven't yet done, as if it was done. He's counting our desire to bring the shkolim as if we've actually brought them. So Hashem is bringing that schus before it even happened to be able to save Klal Yisrael. And the truth be told, as the Berachayim, Rabbi Yehuda points out, when we hear Parshat Shkolim, we know it's a time of forgiveness of sins, the time of Bracha and Yeshua, so we've spoken about this in the past. We should know in 46, Ulfizeh Ein Ben Mitzvah Shkolim, Shibitzman Beit HaMikdash Hayakayam, Lubitzman Hazesh, Shabamtena Rabbi, Mainland Beit HaMikdash. Truth be told, based on this idea, there's really no difference when we would read about the Shkolim in the time that there was a Beit HaMikdash and we were able to bring it, to now, that albeit we can't bring it, but what can we do? Have a desire to bring it. Sherei Akati Yesh Be'adam Lishtokek Lateta the Shkolim. We can desire to bring the Shkolim. V'aloz the Iker Kiyum HaMitzvah. And that is the Iker of the Mitzvah. And in fact, it's even greater than the times of Beis HaMikdash, because in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, it was there. But here, as the Sosemus notes, the end of 46, the Iraqi and the Divus mit Kapel Kumoav, Kikola Korbanon, the Kablu Ratz, Araki de Koch and the Divus to Israel, Shemizayu Kola Korbanos, Vizen the Divus Shishkamata, Vefshar Yoter, I de Shemishtoka Kim Lina Devos Shemifarak and Rishonam. When I don't have it in front of me, but I want it, and this is what I desire, and I sit in shul saying, I wish I was able to bring the shkolim, I wish we had the korbanos, I wish we were able to serve Hashem. That tshuka, that desire, that in itself creates a certain aspect of the fulfillment of the mitzvah. It creates the energy that the shkolim come as a protection. It comes that Moshe Rabbeinu lifts up our head, that we or Penecha Aleinu Adon Yisa, that we have this close relationship with the Baruch Shalom. All these wonderful things of the power of the shkolim are present in our lives, albeit we haven't given the shkolim higdimu. But the fact that we want to, Hashem as if considers it, as if we've already done it. So idea number one, Achdus, unity. Idea number two, Hashir lo yarbev, dal lo yamid. Everyone gives exactly what they have because everyone realizes that whatever they have is exactly what Hashem wants them to have. We're completely in the Ribbono Shalom's hands. We have to be able to give to the best of our ability and recognize that whatever we're gifted with is a gift from Hashem, unlike Haman, who saw everything about himself. Third idea, what did the shkolim represent? The shkolim represented, what we just learned now, the shkolim represented the passion that Haman had to be able to give so much money to Achashverosh, just to destroy the Jews. But his passion was already offset by our passion, either our passion in the past to use our money and donations to the Mishkan and Beit HaMikdash, or our future passions that they would bring to the second Beit HaMikdash, that ability to want to give, that ability to have that tshuka, that passion for the Ribbono Shel Olam and for his mitzvahs, that offsets Haman, similar to Avravinu offsetting Bilam. And we have to sit and shul with that desire. The final idea in terms of mindset, and we'll call it a day, is Mesamech Sion Rav Apfel, who says the following. It's very deep. We'll just take out one or two nekudos. He says, what's the idea of giving a half a shekel? So Kesef, we know, comes from the language of Kisufim and Shuka. Kesef comes from desire, comes from passion. The mitzvah of giving a half a shekel is about our passion to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's kamayim lapanim. It's a face, it's a mirror relationship. Why do we give a half a shekel? We give our love, kivyachol, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and then we feel, kivyachol, right? Or p'nei Adon Nishtah, that Hashem comes down and showers upon us these feelings of kisufim, these feelings of desire, these feelings of tshuka, these feelings of closeness. And he goes on to say, Va'inyan Bazen 48, Tarei Kedei Livno Bayit, in order to build a house, you have to first have a place where the house can be able to be, a makom. You can't build on something that is already built in that place. So you first have to prepare the ground in order to build. We have to prepare ourselves to be wanting to have this relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Double squiggly, umochmochein linyanenu. Kedei lamshich hashreus hashchina vagiluyim hanifleim debinyan hamishkan vekelav. Tzrichim mikodem lachim hakom muchan haruy lamshich alav hashreus hashchina. So, just like we begin with, you needed achdus, unity, to have the Mishkan come down, you also need to have kisufim, desires, right? Famous word of the Gutzker Rebbe, where is Hashem? Wherever you let him in, right? If there's no place for God, there's no desire, then there's no place for him. And that was the work of the Shkolim, Legalot HaTshuka, the Hagnuza ben Shamos Yisrael. The job of the Shkolim every year was to uncover that deep desire of our relationship with Hashem. And that's why these Shkolim were used for Korbanos. Because Korbanos, from the word Karov, was about bringing ourselves closer to Hashem. We first have a desire to want to come closer to Hashem, then we can actually bring the Korbanos that indeed create that intimacy between us and Hashem. And that's why we know that a kli reik machzik, mashein klein kli maleonu machzik. An empty cup is able to hold. A full cup is not able to hold. When a person is, mi she'en, in the asterisks of 50, she'en margish b'nafsho shum chisaron, en lo shum tshuka. If you don't think you're missing anything, and your whole avodas Hashem is fine, then there's no sense of desire. V'lechein achein davka tshuka shehi b'china kli reik, Vargashar chisaron hi akliva makom lekabel oro tuva v'chasdo baruch shmo. So we have to recognize that our job is to first bring those kesef, the kisufim, the half. I bring my half and I'm waiting for Hashem to bring his half. It's that kisufim, it's that desire. Just parenthetically, he brings a gevaldic vort from the Torah's Chaim of Kesef, where he, vort we've spoken about before, the Pasuk says, Shafila Kepelech Rimon Rakatech, Chazal teach us, Shafila Rekonim Shebecha Malei Mitzvot Kerimon. Even the empty ones among you are filled with mitzvot like a Rimon. And the obvious question is, well, if you're filled with mitzvot, then how can you be empty? And there's a lot of Torah on this. But now we understand a deeper Torah. Of course they're Malei Mitzvot. They're full of mitzvot. But at the same time, they make themselves empty. They make themselves empty in terms of, I want to create more of a relationship. I want even greater connection. I'm doing, but I'm not full. I'm empty. And that's the quality of Klal Yisrael, that deep down, that we call the Pintel Yid, every Jew wants to connect. Every Jew has room for more of that connection. Every Jew brought that half a shekel. With this, my friends, we can appreciate in 52 basic understanding of this. It's much deeper than I'm about to say. I'm just taking out in the Kuda. Haman's whole focus was the Jews have had it. Yeshnu amachad, yeshnu amachad. They're sleeping. They're not having a relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam. It's all over. And that's why the Pasuk describes that Haman said, Uparshana kesev asher amar Haman lishkol al Ginzei HaMelech. What is Ginzei HaMelech? Literally, the treasuries of the kings. Ginzei is from the word ganuz, that which is hidden. And that's why when Mordechai is telling Esther about the Parshat HaKesev and the Ginzei HaMelech, he's saying to her, this is what Haman's trying to do. He's trying to level an attack against us that our desire for Hashem, our Ginzei HaKesev, Ginzei HaMelech, Lishkol, al Ginzei HaMelech, to weigh out the Kesef, the Kitzufim, is Ginzei HaMelech, it's hidden. That's what he wants to bring out. And we have to bring out this passion, this enthusiasm. That's what Mordechai's job was. And that's what we've spoken about before. Rabbi Miller in Yantif Shirim says that's why Purim is over the top in terms of a happy and happening day. Because it's about Haman saying, you're sleeping. And we're saying, no, we're not sleeping. We're awake. Our passion for Yiddishkeit is very great. He says in 52 something very deep. He says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he created the world with the understanding that Klal Yisrael was going to have this relationship with him. That was the vision of the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Ribbono Shel Olam knows Hikdim. He knows from the beginning of time that we are going to have that relationship with him. And he knows that sometimes it's buried and sometimes it has to be awakened. Hence we have the language of the Medrash so much clearer, going back to source 2. It was revealed and known before he who spoke and the world came into being. This idea of the Shkolim comes from the beginning of the world. What is the idea of the Shkolim at the beginning of the world? Such an interesting language. It's the idea of that relationship, of that kisufim, of that connection that we're going to have to the Ribbono Shel Olam from the beginning of time. This is what the Ribbono Shel Olam understood. And that's why Haman, you can't come and try to destroy the Jews. It's no way that's going to happen. Because Hikdim, for the moment of the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood there's going to be a Klal Yisrael. And there's going to be a Klal Yisrael who are going to give a half a shekel, who are going to have these kisufim, these desires for Hashem to give the other half a shekel. And hence we understand the Berachayim, Rabbi Biderman 54, that when Moshe Rabbeinu had a difficulty, well, what does this half a shekel look like? Hashem pulled out a fiery matzbeah she'elish, a fiery coin. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what half a shekel looked like. Hashem's pulling out a fiery coin. It's about passion. That's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is saying. I don't just need a half a coin. I need Rachmana Libaboy. I want their passion. I want their enthusiasm. I want their emptiness. I want them to make room for me. I want this relationship. I want to end where Rav Biderman says something very powerful. He says, V'lach Elashia rarely boli stokes lachpotlit karev drachman libabai. The whole idea of a half a shekel, which is not a lot, is just about coming to Hashem with desire. When we read the parsha, we have to come to Hashem with desire. And he says, V'lachein amra Torah lavid davar katan bavad. Hashem doesn't want, $1 million, something very small. What really brings the nachat ruach kivyachol to Hashem is our desire to give something. Even if it's a small gift, it is mitkabelot etzel kodesh baruch hu l'ratzon, it is accepted with favor by the Ribbono Shel Olam. And we've spoken so often about taking on a small kabbalah. You say, doesn't God want something big? No. He wants a half a shekel, but he doesn't really want the half a shekel alone. He wants the kesef. He wants the kisufim. He wants, through this small act that we do, that we open ourselves up to have a place that Hashem can mirror this relationship. It's not just about giving, it's also about receiving. It's about connection. And that feeling of connection, that I'm always connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam, wherever I am, whatever happens, that feeling is what Haman reintroduced into Klal Yisrael, or fanned the flames for Klal Yisrael, and then that level of Kimu v'Kiblu, of greater level of Kabbalah Satorah, Purim is celebrating, not just merrymaking, it's celebrating connection, it's celebrating relationship, and you can't get lost on Purim just about the merrymaking and our part. You have to be ready to accept and see it's a half a shekel, and Hashem responds as well.